Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Hey, everybody. We're talking all about today what's happening in the world related to intellectual property. One of the very first case studies in our book, You Are an IP Company, is Taylor Swift. And we've been saying all along, Katie, that she is an IP company. And today, or this week, the tables are turned and her IP company is getting sued. She's being sued. So Katie, you brought that up, but I've been tracking the story too. What did you think when you first saw that headline?
Yeah, I think it was surprising. So she's getting sued by Maren Wade over her album title, The Life of a Showgirl. And
yep,
the reason is this Maren Wade, it's a Las Vegas performer who has a trademark for Confessions of a Showgirl. So they're claiming that her use of this is likely to cause consumer confusion with their pre-existing trademark application, a trademark, issued trademark, I think.
Yeah. And I read the quote from this lady. She basically says, look, why should I not be recognized as I've been building this for 12 years? Why can somebody bigger just come along and say, I want to use that? And now all of a sudden the little person has to, you know, buckle under. And so she's playing that card of like, I've been here for 12 years building up this brand. And just because of the biggest singer on the planet, most wealthiest, wants to. So she's actually fighting that the name be removed from the album. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So Katie, I gotta imagine that it's probably gonna be a settlement. I mean, I couldn't see Taylor Swift going back and changing all of her IP that's already out in the world. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I think if that's the case, you know, she's gonna have to pay a pretty hefty settlement, right? Because she's used it for her tour names, all her merchandise. Yeah. So there's tons of use. And so I would imagine the damages here could be quite lucrative. And, you know, the party who has that trademark, they know she's kind of in a stuck position here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, absolutely.
They have kind of the bargaining power right now.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So it goes back to what you and I have been saying all along, which is timing is tops. Like we say that in the book, timing is tops. The whole reason this is even brought to the attention is she was there first and she has a trademark. And Frank, again, this whole podcast is not legal advice. We'll just say that from the beginning. But Frank told me and you last week that America is the first to use with trademark. You might want to unpack that, Katie, because when he said that, I'm like, that's interesting because I know patents are first to file and maybe even trademarks, but I think what he was saying is trademark usage is huge.
Right. And that's why, so in the US, it's a first to use system. And so that's why documenting your use, right, showing when you have the earliest use is so important.
Yeah.
And that's why a tool like Instant IP is so helpful, because if you have a timestamp of when you had first use, right, you have that documented evidence that you can submit there.
Yeah, that's shocking. Are patents first to file?
First to file, yes. They used to be first to invent, but the patent system underwent a massive overhaul in 2013 with the America Invents Act, and we switched to this first to file system that put us in alignment with most other countries around the world.
That is shocking. So folks, if you are watching and not just listening, I'm showing the screen. And here's what it exactly says. A trademark first use date is the earliest date a mark is used in commerce to identify goods or services. In the US, this date is crucial because it establishes ownership and priority over competitors, regardless of registration. It requires bona fide commercial use, selling products or offering services. So what's interesting, Katie, is yeah, when you do file with Instant IP, a couple cool things. It's put on the blockchain, immutable timestamp, but it's also put on Polygon, which is Ethereum layer two. And Ethereum layer two is a marketplace. And so that's kind of interesting too. And I know this gets into case law about smart contracts, and where we have a whole page devoted to that in snipe.today/court. But that's very interesting that it's put as a blockchain smart contract for sale immediately, like the second you create it, in addition to the cease and desist letter. So I do think for tracking, it's very important. The date's going to show with this whole Taylor Swift case. We won't get into valuations today and all that. I think we just land the plane here, Katie. But what else do you think this lady has going for her?
Yeah, I mean, I think she has filed for a jury trial. So I think it'll be interesting to watch if there is a settlement, right? Because if not, then it will go forth to a full jury trial. And, you know, then you're kind of putting the outcome in the hands of your 12 peers. So I think it's something that we'll definitely be watching and continue to watch as the case evolves here.
So is it, so you're saying there's a chance that a jury of 12 could side with Taylor Swift?
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
to sleep at night. You hope they would be fair.
Right. Well, and, you know, the thing is too, as in any kind of case there, especially in a trademark infringement case, there's a lot of learning and educating the jury too. Okay. About the trademark statute, the Lanham Act. And so I think if this were to go forth to a jury trial, it would be very interesting to see how the lawyers frame this up and what kind of evidentiary support they bring in to demonstrate Taylor Swift's use of the mark after this trademark had already been registered in 2015.
I'm looking at that Lanham Act. So that's like the main statute
that governs trademark law. Yes. In the US.
Wow. That's what it's called. Interesting. Well, Katie, this was great. I think it is a very hot case. It's obviously going to be very public. Katy Perry was in a infringement case few years ago that actually involved one of my friends. There's a guy named DJ Code who has spoken at Cedarville, etc. And he's friends with the guy who actually that was an infringement on. And I mean, that was the question. This artist had to decide, do I just let it go or do I, you know, try to win the case to stand up for creators all over? And it was from the song Dark Horse, and they brought in a musicologist or whatever you call it, and they basically said, yeah, she had taken that. So it's interesting, folks. Like, you know, as much as we love creativity, you have to put that boundary around your innovation, and you have to respect other people's boundaries. So thanks, Katie. You're teaching me a lot every week, and I appreciate your wisdom. And last thing I'll say is if people want to join us in Boston, those spots are filling up fast, instantip.today/Boston, and you can learn a ton of what Katie has to offer and me as well and Chad Jenkins. See you next week.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast. with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.